The summit on democracy comes at a time when many in the world are worried that America's democracy is facing a historic crisis of its own. In his opening remarks at the summit, President Joe Biden acknowledged that the stakes were high, calling it the defining challenge of the current era. Biden warned that globally, freedoms were under threat from autocrats seeking to expand power, export influence, and justify repression. He called on the attendees to support and safeguard rights and freedoms of their people in the face of this rising authoritarianism.
Democracies are not all the same. We don't agree on everything, all of us in this meeting today. But the choices we make together are going to define, in my view, the course of our shared future for generations to come. And as a global community for democracy, we have to stand up for the values that unite us. We have to stand for justice and the rule of law, for free speech, free assembly, a free press, freedom of religion, for all the inherent human rights of every individual.
Now, President Biden speaking at the opening of the Virtual Summit for Democracy. Erica Franz is a professor in political science at Michigan State University. She's the author of numerous books and published studies on authoritarian politics with a focus on democratization, conflict, and development. She tells me that the summit is a test of Biden's administration's commitment and ability to inspire confidence in the world that is still grappling with a global pandemic and one in which many autocratic governments have used as an excuse to step up repressive measures and impose new restrictions on civil liberties.
Professor Franz, thank you very much for joining us today here on International Edition. A new report says that a number of countries are undergoing what they called a democratic backsliding. You know, countries including some regional super, you know, powers, economic powers, countries like Brazil, India, and many others. My question to you, how much of this backsliding globally has to do with the US's own backsliding?
That's a good question. First of all, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity. So as you point out, yes, we are amid a pretty prolonged session of democratic backsliding globally, where, you know, Freedom House, for example, has documented more than 15 consecutive years of losses in freedom globally, as opposed to increases or improvements. And in some cases, these episodes are happening in countries that are already, well, not the backsliding, but the reversions of freedom are happening in places that are already authoritarian. But in many places like the US or Brazil or India, we're seeing these democracies that were once robust edging towards authoritarianism. And what is somewhat troubling is that many of these places don't really fit the mold for where we're used to seeing democratic challenges. So usually the countries that are most at risk of backsliding are have a shorter history of democracy or lower levels of wealth. But the US clearly doesn't fit that mold. And in terms of the US's foreign policy vision of trying to promote democracy worldwide, it doesn't really help the US sell its message when it's currently experiencing so many domestic challenges in terms of maintaining its own democracy. So it's not so much that other countries are necessarily mimicking the what's happening in the US intentionally, but rather we're kind of losing our own legitimacy in terms of democracy promotion.
So now that the Biden administration is putting this issue, as they say, on the front burner in terms of the global conversation, how does it explain its own backsliding to the world? How do they start that conversation?
Yeah, this is going to be very tricky because on the one hand, the backsliding that occurred happened under the Trump administration. So it wasn't until about 2016 when Trump got on the campaign trail that we started to have worries about what would happen to the American democracy should Trump get elected. And then sure enough, when he did come to power, he did a number of things that were troubling, mainly in terms of trying to consolidate control in the executive, put loyalists in positions of influence instead of experts, and then generate questions about the integrity of our elections. So all those things happened before Biden assumed power, yet, you know, we still need to somehow reconcile what happened with what our own vision of democracy is. And given that there's been very little consequences from the January 6th insurrection in terms of the perpetrators basically going free at the top levels, you know, it's kind of difficult to state that we really value democracy when those sorts of episodes of violence go unpunished. On top of this, we're seeing challenges to electoral integrity via gerrymandering and restrictions on the right to vote. I have a data set on democracies, and we code a country as democratic if all those who are eligible can vote easily. And these challenges over access to voting, making it more difficult to vote or barring certain groups from voting, really threaten the integrity of the democracy in the U.S.
You know, we've been in a pandemic, in a global COVID-19 pandemic since March of 2020. Analysts say that the pandemic has been used by authoritarian regimes to consolidate control of their countries and their societies. My question to you is, has the pandemic provided a gateway to this backsliding and increasing authoritarianism that we see around the world?
That's a great question. So the relationship so far seems to be somewhat nuanced. At the start of the pandemic, there were a lot of fears that countries that were democratic countries that were somewhat on the fringe would see backsliding. Places like the U.S., for example, would the Trump administration have used that as an opportunity to restrict freedoms? So there were a lot of concerns about that. But what we saw happening in the end was that the countries that were democratic did not necessarily backslide because of the pandemic. The countries that were authoritarian, however, we did see reversions towards more entrenched authoritarianism. Places like Hungary are a really good example. So the Hungarian regime was autocratic by my own assessment prior to the pandemic, but things got even worse during the pandemic because the leadership was able to use it as an opportunity to restrict freedoms of opponents. So it more so led to an entrenchment of authoritarianism rather than leading democracies to collapse or backslide further.
Erica Franz is a professor in political science at Michigan State University. We'll bring you the second part of our conversation next week.